November report. A lot has changed since then to the good. So I'll go over these numbers right here. These numbers, the only thing that I changed for the report was the fact that we did get the ARC that came in at the end of the month and is fully funded. So the market value is lower than it is right now because we've gained some money in December. But you can see on the top left-hand side, the 390 million is a significant number in the last number of years. So I would say that that number, but just on the back of a napkin, would be over 400 million today. So it's done very, very well. You can see across the top, we've lagged a little bit here in the last 3 to 6 months, simply because the market on the index side has gone straight up. If you look back over the last 3 years, in the last 5 years, we're above and beyond the 6.9%. You go down to large cap equities, it's a pretty similar story for the month. If you look over to the 6 month table, you'll see that you have 10% all the way down the board and a 12% for Aristotle. So Aristotle really coming back on the value side, which has not necessarily been the case. I think we're on the wrong page. It's a page before that, but I'll talk about mid cap. Mid cap has also done well for the last month. This is for November, up 9% and up 9.3%. So having a good year-to-date number of both 9 and 12. So again, on the equity side, it's done very, very well. And the good thing about this report is that when you come down to the fixed income numbers, we're starting to get a participation of both parts of the market. ClearBridge, you can see in this portfolio right here, is actually liquidated. That's sitting in cash, the 13.24 million. That is going to be something that's presented next month. We'll have three managers coming in to do a brief 20 to 25.
I apologize. This is Pat. I think he's locked out. I had to use my key card to get in.
Okay.
I'm just going to go get him.
Sure. Talk slowly. I think they'll be fine with me talking through the rest of this equity portion. So ClearBridge is in cash. We're going to replace that with another manager. It's earning the over 5%, which is good. So that's a good alternative to just sitting still. Channing's had a decent run here. You can see their 3 month numbers a little bit challenged, but if you go across the board, they've done pretty well on the 3 year number and on the inception number. Similar story with Cook and Beeler. Their number year to date is actually fantastic, though, at 14% versus up 1%. Value has really popped back there. And you can see the 1 year number 10 versus negative 5. So across the board, since inception, done very, very well. On the international side, you can see WCM, which is a manager that we had talked to a while back, has really bounced back this past month or so. And we're still watching them to make sure they're doing their job. International, again, with a weaker dollar, has done well. Stonnett is one of our new managers across the board, doing pretty well, 9 versus 10 year to date. MFS has done very well. You can see them again on the 6 month number up 5, and on the year to date number is double digits. So, again, we're getting a lot of participation in domestic equities down market capitalization from large, mid to small. And we're getting participation on the international side, which is great. And then the good news, if you go down to the fixed income side, one thing that has happened here is that we had a 10-year bond that was almost 5%, just shy of that. I think it got about 4.9 change. And that has rallied all the way back down to a lower rate into the threes. I think today it's about 3.75. So when rates come down, bonds do well. All right, we're getting a little less interest on the short-term stuff, but on the bond market, it's done very, very well. So now we're seeing good numbers across the board from Atlanta all the way down to a Serenitas, which isn't marked on a monthly basis. But you can see on the 1 month number, really good performance on the fixed income side. We actually think that's going to continue. I'll talk really briefly at the end of these slides about where we think we're going into next year. I'm not going to get exhaustive into the total economy. I'll do that next month since we do have a brief presentation today. Go across the board to the next page is cash. So we have between cash and then the money that's sitting aside for the small cap, just about $50 to $65 million to work with. So we're going to get that deployed sooner than later. Today, we're going to talk about an allocation. Next month, we're going to talk about an allocation. I'm not sure about size, but there's reasons to be deploying this money. Those short-term rates are going to be coming down pretty quickly. We'll see the Federal Reserve lowering rates next year anywhere, they're saying, from 3 to 6 times. So we're not going to get that 5.3% anymore. Those are going to come down. But we are going to get great participation, in my opinion, from stocks and from fixed income. So I still see opportunity in the market, and I still see a market that could get us probably easily to our discount rate of the 6.9, but I think above and beyond that. So there's still opportunity there. We don't have to put it in all at once. We should get a little bit of a break after the Santa Claus rally and have time within the first quarter to reallocate that. So with that said, I could open up to any questions here, or I could introduce our guests and what they're talking about today.
Any questions for Dave before we hear from the guests? Any questions? Back to you, Dave.
Okay, so Titan Advisors is a firm out of Stanford. I'm not going to steal any of their thunder. This is a portfolio that goes into the alternative bucket that we have, but it's something that we haven't had yet. This is a fund-to-fund, so it's a very safe investment. You're going to see from the numbers, but it could be a very good anchor investment, a ballast to the total portfolio. And some of the beauties of it is that, again, they're local, and the fact that this is a liquid alternative is something that's very attractive to me. And it gives us access to multiple parts of the private markets in one investment. So again, we've had these long-term investments, but some of them have been great, some have been a challenge. This gives us the opportunity to participate with the liquidity of a quarterly call for them to say we need more money back, or we'll give them more money back. So with that said, I'll bring these guys in, I'll introduce them, and then they can take the show from there. I've been very specific with them about timing, so they're not going to keep us long. Gentlemen?
Dave's doing that. I just know for the record that Trustee Vereen, Trustee Ribeiro, Trustee Cannon, and Trustee McDermott are in attendance.
You got it. Yeah. Morning.
Morning. George Fox and Frank Stone, Titan Advisors.
George. Patrick. Yeah. Brian McDermott. Brian.
No, morning, Mr. Sorry. Fox and Mr. Stone.
Yeah.
George.
What is it?
Taylor.
Hey, Taylor. Taylor. Nice to meet you. Thank you all on the screen as well. George and tall guy next to me is Frank. If people need them, looks like they might have something already. Probably okay.
It was distributed in the minutes. So
okay. We're probably all right. Okay.
We'll be on the screen.
Oh, nice. Oh, terrific. That's wonderful.
Share with yours.
We're up. Okay. All right. Thank you all again for carving out some time here at the end of the year. You know, I've been trying to get in touch with people all week. They have business calls and nobody picks up the phone. So appreciate you all getting together and being willing to meet with us for a few minutes. I'm George Fox. I'm the founder of Titan Advisors. We're a 23-year-old alternatives firm, kind of opportunistically driven. Our office is in Stanford. We got $4.5 billion of firm assets, 29 employees. And the entirety of the firm all those years has been focused on exactly what we're going to talk about today, which is compiling portfolios predominantly for institutions to be stabilizers across their larger portfolios. I have with me Frank Stone, who's one of my partners, among other things at Titan. Frank is the head of risk management at the firm. So in a minute, when we dig into the portfolio, Frank is going to give us some thoughts on how we manage risk and why we're able over 23 years to manage the volatility of this fund that we're talking about today. So we're here to chat about our flagship fund, which is called the Titan Masters Fund. And we distributed some of this material. I hope you all who are here remotely have it as well. It's about 10 or 15 pages there. We'll just pick out a few and go through them. But we're here to talk about our flagship fund, which has a 23-year history. And it really embodies everything we do at the firm. You know, this vehicle is what we call a fund of funds. And some of you might be very familiar with that structure and others might not. So very briefly, this is simply a vehicle where Frank and the rest of our team, we have 12 people on the manager due diligence and the research team. They go out and they find managers who fit the profile we're looking for. And we'll pick 12 to 15 managers typically for this vehicle. It's usually 15. And we bring the best of the talent that we see together after performing some portfolio construction, which Frank will talk about in just a moment, and create a fund of asset managers. That's what this is. We don't trade stocks, currencies, anything at our firm. Our goal is to find managers who know
who have good, really deep fundamental ability to analyze stocks or markets generally, and then overlay that with some market savviness, and then we perform quite a bit of portfolio construction along the way to put together a vehicle like this. And like I said, this fund, Titan Masters, which is our flagship, is 23 years, a lot of data points, and we'll go into that in just a moment. We have a lot of pension investors, frankly, at Titan. Of all sorts, public, private, corporates. We've got, predominantly those are U.S.-based, but we have some out of Europe as well. We have a medical foundation out of Germany that's a pension that invests with us. We have one of the Connecticut's larger corporations. It's called Raytheon Technologies. I think you all know it was originally United Technologies. When they formed, they took the name Raytheon, as you know. They're significant investors of ours. And we kind of view our role as asset managers predominantly for pension type of capital to do two things. One is be good stewards of the capital and protect principal. Don't do things that are irresponsible, that cause you to lose principal, and then have to run hard to catch up to make that money back. We don't do that at our firm. And then two is to responsibly manage that capital through a cycle, through two cycles, to get to the desired return with a high percentage of positive months and real volatility control. We're not reaching for big numbers at Titan. This Titan Masters Fund, for instance, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, this fund has done 75% of the S&P total return over 23 years with about 37% of the volatility, 70% positive months, and almost no beta, I would say, what, Frank, 0.17 or 1.8 beta, or something like that, to the underlying market. So this is not an allocation where it only makes money if markets go up. That's not what this is about. This is about, again, providing stability and volatility control across your larger portfolio by making an allocation like this. And the way we do that is find managers, again, who are good fundamentally, but have some real market savviness. They don't just stand in front of a truck and take it in the face. If markets are difficult, they reduce exposures. If they think they have the wind at their back, they'll add exposures. And they've done this cycle through cycle, or year after year after year. And that's kind of how we build our, all of our portfolios, but particularly this one. I don't know how much everybody knows about what's typically called the hedge fund space. We call it really just active management space. But, there are a plethora of strategies across the hedge fund space. You've got just long-short equity exposure. You've got currency trading. You've got merger and acquisition activity. You've got rate trading. You've got so many different things. And frankly, we don't feel the need to go very far out on the spectrum to put together a portfolio that produces this type of profile. We use the simplest of strategies, long-short equity. We use a strategy called macro, which is predominantly currency and interest rate trading. And we use multi-strat managers, which might be a manager that has two or three of these strategies under one roof. We don't get into some of these more esoteric strategies that use a lot of leverage. We don't believe in leverage. Frank will get into this in just a moment. We don't believe in leverage being the driver of return. So we kind of stay the most basic strategies, which is what we do well, with managers that don't borrow a lot of money to get the job done. Managers typically trying to hit singles after single after single. So consequently, our return profile, if you look at our numbers over the years, our return profile is one where if markets are normalized a little bit and they're winners and losers across the spectrum, and volatility is just average, and there's really dispersion among stocks, say, then we're going to do just fine. And markets can go sideways, up or down, and we'll produce a really solid number. Where we don't do as well, in the interest of full disclosure, is when markets are like this. When markets are parabolic, and kind of like we're seeing this year, markets go straight up, we're not going to be as good because our managers are trading around core positions. And when you do that, you're kind of bringing in the tails of volatility. And in a year like this, you might not produce such a wonderful number. But in a year like 22, you do a great job. Or in a month like September of this year, with markets down 4.5%, 5%, you might make 50, 60, 70, 80 basis points, which is what we did. So again, I'm only underscoring that because across the broader portfolio, Dave, I'm imagining that you all have of long stocks and bonds and maybe some private situations, maybe real estate or private equity or some other things that you have. This is meant to be a stabilizer across the entire portfolio. And not just be working when everything else is working, but to be helping you out when things are working, but particularly to help you when things get a little ugly and a little difficult. And we happen to be believers, frankly, that the next 10 years in the U.S. markets predominantly are going to be a lot different than the last 10 years. And we think there are lots of reasons for it. So we think it's an opportune time to be having this conversation. I'm not sure, to be candid, you know, what we may have talked about 3 or 4 years ago, when all you had to do was own assets and everything appreciated and everything was great. But we think there's reason to believe that that's come to an end and that 2022 is really a canary in the coal mine, a harbinger of some things to come, and that 2023 has kind of been the aberrational year in our view. So we think it's timely to have the conversation. We think we can add real value. And again, Frank and I really appreciate your having this meeting today. Most people aren't doing this, actually, you know, before the end of the year. I'm going to turn it over to Frank for a few minutes because I think a key element of all these allocations, and I want to say also before Frank starts chatting, you know, David did a lot of due diligence on Titan and on this fund before we got here. Both how we construct portfolios, the depth of our team, other investors that are allocators to us, operational work to make sure that we're run professionally, because look, we're all willing to take market risk. But we realize when we make these allocations, we're willing to take a certain degree of market risk, but we're not in this to take business risk. And so the operational work is really important, both on the underlying managers that we allocate to. We have a whole team that does that, that have veto, they have veto power over any allocation we make if they see an operational issue. And then there's the operational aspect of Titan itself. And so, you know, David, you know, met with my team talking about how we're set up operationally and did a lot of work on how we construct the portfolio just to get here. So I'm going to turn it over to Frank because the big aspect, again, is risk management. They have all these talented managers. How do you decide this is the right group of managers? How do you put them together? And then stuff like, you know, how often would you change a manager and dynamically manage a portfolio, Frank?
So good morning. Thanks, Mike George. Thanks for having us. My name is Frank Stone. I've been in this alternatives business about as long as George has, over 30 years. And I think I've known George 30 years. So we've seen a lot of different market cycles and, you know, witness a lot of managers, you know, ups and downs and careers coming and going. So I just kind of wanted to reiterate that point of our experience. But on page 7, the manager lineup in this portfolio. So how do we get here? We see over 200 managers a year in different strategies. Some strategies aren't in this particular fund. I mean, it's a big lens that we look through. And in order to keep the beta or market sensitivity down in this portfolio, we have the four boxes that you see in front of you, long, short equity. And most of those managers are running almost net neutral. So they may be long and short for very low net market exposure. So they're stock pickers. They're alpha generators. So they're trying to use their skill to pick, you know, a group of stocks, longs and shorts, to create a return. And they're doing very different things. And of that lineup, we have bioscience and Silver Arc. We have European equities and Zevity down at the bottom. We have, you know, GMO is Jeremy Grantham, who you may know up in Boston, but they have a dislocation fund. So that the idea there is to run long and short for a net neutral, but favor value over growth because that spread has gotten so wide. So that gives you a little bit of a sense of how different things are. Even though they're in one bucket, they are doing very different things. Global macro was a wonderful spot to be last year with all the turmoil that's going on. Those managers tend to need volatility. But it's not just the global macros like the Bridgewaters of the world that you probably know and have read about. These are managers that are doing very different things. East One Commodity is European natural gas, energy, and power trader. When Russia invaded Ukraine, the manager had an opportunity set that he hadn't seen in his whole career to trade those to different types of markets. Caxton Advantage is a subsector of a big manager, Caxton Macro, and he trades rates and FX and trades the curves like George was saying. So we've got a lot of different pieces in that bucket as well. It's not just global macro and everyone's doing the same thing. The multi-strats are mainly relative value, which means they're taking low net exposure to markets. You probably all have heard of 0.72 down at Stanford. It was one of our larger positions and has had a great year this year, mainly trading stocks, but on a relative value basis, lower net. He's up like 1082 or so year to date, having no beta to the market or correlation to the market. And then on the event-driven side, these managers are very, very different. Trezor is a European credit manager, expresses their corporate events and in that space in pan Europe. So it's not just the UK. Oasis happens to be in pan Asia. Analytus Peak Trade Claims is a manager that has a lot of Latin American exposure. So I think back to what is a fund of funds. The fund of funds is one light item that gives you exposure to a lot of different things, many ways to win without taking on additional market risk or beta or correlation to the market. When the rest of your portfolio is working and doing well, like this year, we may, like George said, be flat to up slightly. When the markets are more normalized and things are kind of chopping around, we're probably going to do good and then or do well. And in a crisis situation, like I described last year, we had a very good year relative to what probably is in the rest of your portfolio with market beta.
Frank, why don't you take a moment? I think what's important here is you're managing risk at the firm. Let's go into a little bit about what are you looking for profile wise. How do you put the portfolio together from a risk standpoint? How do we size positions? Let's have just a couple minutes on that type of stuff if you can.
Okay, sure. So number one, we need to make sure that the manager understands the risks they are taking. So first of all, we look at their exposures, talk to the risk management team, usually have a team, look at their systems to make sure they know what they own and as far as the risk goes. Then we combine those things and we have historical numbers and exposures that the managers have taken. And we look to add or take out a manager for a turnover of an opportunity set, which on page 8, so we're moving these strategies around a bit. So if we find an opportunity, we say macro, for example, has gone up in exposure. That's the green part. So we'll look at the opportunity set from a global perspective and say, do we need to add to that category? Do we need to swap a manager out? And what do we already have in the portfolio and who brings a different risk and a different alpha to the portfolio? So we run many different correlation scenarios across different market environments to choose which manager we add, or if we're taking a manager out, it could be on performance reasons, it could be on growth or turnover at the PM level. And all these things kind of come together where we summarize, hey, if you hire this manager, this is what you're bringing to the table, whether it's exposure to a beta, even though the manager may have a low beta, that market may dictate how the opportunity set goes. So we have that conversation with the investment committee and the portfolio managers across the board, and then decisions are made at that point of any swapping.
So just to kind of summarize that a little bit, position sizing is based on the volatility of the manager. We know what the vol we want to manage a portfolio to. If we have a high volatility manager, we'll think they're talented, it's going to be a smaller allocation. an awful lot of correlation work is done manager to manager to manager to make sure we're not, don't have overlapping exposures that are all going to perform the same way at the same time. So it's a two-step process. You got to find the talented manager within these strategies that we're comfortable allocating to. And then you have to do the portfolio construction work, which entails volatility control and correlation work, and putting your portfolio together. They're both really important. I want to point out real quickly, I know you know, just have a couple of minutes left, David, so we're kind of on a tight schedule. If you turn to page 10, I think page 10 kind of embodies what we're about. Those are the 10 largest drawdowns in the S&P over the 23 years that we've been in business. And you can see how we did during those drawdowns. Yeah, we made money in five of them and lost significantly less than all the rest of them. That's the story we're telling you. We're going to capture enough upside when things are good to generate a solid return for you, and we're going to always protect downside. If there's one thing you remember about this meeting and about Titan, it's that. You know, we are a very responsible and disciplined firm in allocation. We're not going to generate 20% returns for you ever, but we're going to get 6 to 10, be my guess, over this type of market we're going to see over the next several years, and we're going to get it with a high percentage of positive months and not a lot of market exposure. That's what you're allocating to if you allocate to Titan, something that is a little bit of a volatility damper across your larger portfolio. Again, this fund has done 75% of the S&P for 23 years. With 37% of the vol, 70% positive months, and very little beta to the markets. That's kind of exactly what most institutions look for when things start to get a little ugly, something they can rely on. And I'll stop there. I don't unless there's something specific, David, you'd like us to cover. That kind of gives an overview of this one.
Sure, I'm going to open it up to questions in a minute, but I'm sure that is a lot of information.
Yeah,
for people that don't know these funds, that's why. Yeah. Again, I appreciate it, George, because I've been to their establishment a couple times and really kicked the tires on this. And there's not a lot of these funds out there. There's a handful, and so it again kind of checks off a lot of boxes on the alternative side without having to go out and hire multiple managers. It's what attracted me to it. And again, we're looking for that ARC number, that discount, not the ARC number, the discount rate. So the closer we can get to that. I just think this could be a ballast within the alternatives, and I want to just open it up to some trustees for any questions that you have.
Any question from trustees?
Mr. Cannon.
I see Mr. Cannon. Is that you raising your hand there?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in. I know how hard it was to get here. The roads are brutal coming in, so I appreciate that. You guys are located in Stamford?
We are, yep.
An hour away, so I like that. In the past, we've dealt with some alternatives and hedge funds, and access to these managers is what my concern is. Can you elaborate on that? Your access to them for a fund like us? Is it?
When you say access, you mean lack of access?
Lack of access.
Yeah. So one thing that's interesting about this whole hedge fund world is, you know, when I first got into this and Frank started doing this 30-some years ago, everybody used to tout access, right? And it's still important. But it's not the overriding factor in putting together a portfolio like this. Having said that, however, you know, we have in our firm what's called an emerging manager portfolio, where we'll identify, we probably, as Frank said, do work on a couple hundred managers a year, but I think across our whole firm, we probably only have 50, 60 allocations, 55 maybe across the whole firm, right? Across everything we're doing. So a lot of the managers to whom we ultimately allocate started off in our emerging manager portfolio, where we've negotiated lower fees, we've negotiated capacity, which gets to the access question. We've negotiated, you know, transparency. So we don't have any access issues as it relates to these managers. This fund could be three times the size it is, and we'd be able to allocate in exactly this way to all these managers. And a couple of them are, you know, Caxton Advantage, for instance, who Frank mentioned has been a great allocation for us. That's a capacity-constrained manager, but that's a manager to whom we allocated the day he launched the sleeve of his business. We negotiated capacity. We still have it years ago. So it's a great question, but I think we're in good shape here.
And we speak to these managers continually. So the access to data and conversations and in-person meetings and all that is not an issue.
Yeah, that's basically where my question was. Access to the reporting information.
Oh, yeah.
Year. We've had issues in the past years ago with some firms that just didn't have the numbers ready for us.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry. I misunderstood the question. We have five people in Investor. You will never have that issue. I mean, if you ever call us for anything, you're going to get called back immediately. I mean, we're all afraid. Look, I think one thing we've always remembered, 23 years we've been in business, I had an advisory firm in this space for 10 years prior, is in the final analysis, you know, guys like us, we're really in the service business. You know, I mean, we manage portfolios pretty well, I think, pretty responsibly, but in the final analysis, we're in the service business to try to make this a good relationship for you. And there's nothing you're going to ask us for that you're not going to get an immediate answer to. I'll assure you that, whether it's information or don't have a meeting with somebody, whatever you want, we'll get that done.
Thank you. My next and last question is in regards to these funds. How liquid are they? I mean, are we tied up long-term with these funds?
No. So another, obviously, great question, because these are the issues that most institutions are concerned about. How am I going to be served, and can I get my capital if I need it? So, you know, managing a business like ours is about more than just managing the portfolios, right? You got to manage the business of managing the portfolios. And so one mistake we've never made at Titan is to mismatch liquidities, where we're promising you quarterly liquidity, but yet we can't get to the capital. In 2008, we had $2 billion redemptions at our firm, and we got it all out. You know, and the issue in 2008, candidly, for most firms like ours, was that they couldn't get the capital out because they promised quarterly, they had a bunch of annual allocations, and that's a no-no in this business, and we've never done that. So there'll never be a time when you want your capital on a quarterly basis, you won't get it, I will promise you that. We just don't do that here. That, you know, our managers are liquid, they're active trading, there's no private equity, private credit, real estate, infrastructure, none of that. These are public market allocations to active traders, and you'll always be able to get your capital.
Could you just give a Cliff Notes version of what an incentive fee is and how it varies from like a sales charge or a management fee?
Oh, sure. So a sales charge is just an upfront one-time charge. Somebody gets paid some money, I guess, for bringing the capital in, is what that is. And that's, you don't really see that in our business. You know, at least I haven't. You know, it's more of a, that seems like that's more of a traditional industry characteristic. The way incentive fees work are, Titan gets 7.5% of the gains. But let's say, like we've had three down years in 23 years, and one of them was 2008, and we made all that back by October of the next year, right? But we've had three down years. The others are low single digits, pretty small, because that's kind of our profile. But that's what you expect from a firm that doesn't return 20% either, right? You kind of, it's gonna, you know, when you lose, you should lose a little because you're not making 20, 25, right? It's the asymmetry, right? What was it?
You said we had three down years.
Yeah. We've had three.
I think it was the incentive fee.
Those years that we had down years, you know, we have what's called a high water mark, which means we don't get an incentive fee the next year until we make that money back. You understand? So the idea here is to have everybody's incentives aligned. You know, I've got a lot of my capital in this fund. All of my partners have capital in this fund. If you end up allocating here, it'll be next to you. And if we lose money in a year, like I said, that high water mark should be a feature of every hedge fund you allocate to, by the way. That's part of hedge fund investing, is the interests are supposed to be aligned. And if we lose a few percent one year, then we don't get any incentive fee until we get you back to your high water mark, and then we participate above that. But it's not like a sales charge. That's not really a feature of this.
You don't get paid twice.
So yeah, that's right.
There's an incentive to lose money and then make it back the next year.
That's right.
And get paid again. Or to take back to where they were, and then the numbers on top.
Or to take big shots with your capital and not worry about losing, because you know it's just, that would never work for us philosophically anyway. It's just not, you know, our typical problem at our firm, to be candid, is managing up to our volatility target. That's really our problem. You know, we're a firm that's innately risk managed, and managing up to the fall is usually the problem, not taking too much exposure and too much fall. And I think that's borne out in the 23 years of data points here for this fund, I believe.
Any other questions from the trustees? Any other questions? So, Dave, are you looking for something here? This is just to mull over until next meeting or what?
I'd like to excuse these gentlemen and thank them for their time. And as usually, talk behind their back for a moment, if we could. So, thank you very much.
Yep. Mr. Mayor and everyone else, thank you so much. We really appreciate it, especially the willingness to have a meeting on a day like today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good new year.
You got Thanks, Mr. Stone. Thanks, Mr. Fox.
Thank you so much. David, thank you.
So I think that was, I think they repeated a lot of the stuff that I apologize. It's a complicated product. So the first 20 minutes, you're kind of sitting there and they're saying, I'm sure you heard of this person. You've heard of that person. I'm pretty sure most of us haven't heard of any of those people. I have, but that's my job. And that's why you go down and kick the tires on these type of firms prior to walking in with them. So it's something that I'm interested in. I think it's something that is a good opportunity for the funds. And I would make a recommendation that we hire these people. When it comes to a recommendation in size, again, because it would be a bedrock or a ballast to the total portfolio, a 5% allocation is something that I would recommend. So anywhere from $15 to $20 million. If it was something that wasn't liquid, I'd probably go lower on that. If it was a 9 or 12 year agreement, but since we can get at the money within 90 days, I think it's something that we should look at as far as that allocation of the, you know, again, the 15 to 20, 20 would be closer to the 5% number.
Any questions for Dave from the trustees?
Trustee Kennedy, Dave, you vetted this company. This is something you like. You've done the research. Everything's there that you like.
You know, it's there. It gives us opportunity to work with some of the best funds in the world. You cannot call 0.72 in Stanford and say, we want to give you $15 million. There are $150 million minimum. The majority of these funds out here, we can't access. They can access it to them because they have $4 billion. So it gives us the ability to get the best of the best within one product. They're a local firm, so I think they're going to be very attentive to us. And it's again, it's just a way of checking off a box for an asset class that we could do in one package. And they have a fantastic you know, reputation throughout the business.
Mr. Camp?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to hire Titan on the advice of our financial consultant, Dave Moran. I believe you asked for $20 million. So I'd like to make that motion.
I second that.
There's a motion to allocate $20 million towards Titan and a second on the table. Any discussion on that motion?
I'd just like to point out that, I mean, based on things that Dave has told us and things I've had in my own reading and investment experience, I expect to see quite a bit of volatility in the market in 2024 and beyond. And I like this recommendation as something that's going to go in a hedge against that. You know, one of the things that jumped out to me was the fact that they actually, you know, made money in a significant window in 2022 on that page 10 there of the chart. And that's something that, you know, because we're constantly drawing out to make these payments, you know, we're particularly vulnerable to market volatility in a downturn. You know, we've got to pull money out at that rate. And something like this could really, you know, help minimize our own exposure to that. So I thank Dave for finding this firm. And I think that this makes a lot of sense for the portfolio.
Thanks, Trustee McDermott. Any other discussion? Any other discussion? All those in favor, Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. Motion passes. Dave, anything else from you?
No, I'm just going to get in touch with Thrombey Law. We'll get contracts going with that and get back to you shortly.
Okay, will do. Thanks for the report, Dave. Moving on to minutes, is there a motion to approve the minutes from the November 30th, 2023 meeting?
Motion.
Second.
Motion having been made by Mr. Cannon and seconded by Mr. McDermott. Any discussion on the minutes? Any discussion? All those in favor? Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. The minutes pass. Moving on to item three, administrative matters. We're going to presumably pass over item 3A again. Item 3B, Leitchmer, Fonte, and Ault. Any discussion from staff here on this one?
Good morning, everyone. This is Nana. Let me just share. This is a court of three update from Nancy Kulesa. I did have her do a cover sheet because it's a little confusing. She sends also, which we provided to you, an Excel spreadsheet. And then, this whole packet as well. But I asked her to type up a cover sheet that kind of outlines, where the fund is with exposures, with anything, money received. We have received a couple checks in the past couple of months that we've deposited to Raymond James on behalf of PNF. But this is just information only, an update on quarter three. There's nothing at the current moment that is required from the fund. This is just updating us as to any potential losses or gains from the fund.
Thank you, Leanna. Any questions? And trustees can review that on their own too, as I was sent in the email. Any questions? Okay. Thanks, Leanna. Moving on, note for the record, age, annuity, retirement, information only. That's item four. Item five, contribution withdrawals, information only. Okay, those two individuals. Item six, age, annuity, retirement, and service-connected disability. Elliot Rosa, Douglas Wardlaw, and Daniel Sacco. Do the trustees feel the need to go into executive session to discuss any of these items? We need to go into executive session. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Cannon made the motion. Trustee McDermott seconded. Any discussion? All right, let's go to the vote. Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. Those items pass. Item seven, death after retirement, information only, Frederick Rimmler and William Weitz. And then item eight, survivor death after retirement, Teresa DiPaolo. If we could take a moment to reflect on the passing of those individuals. Thank you, everybody. Item nine, payment of the bills. Is a motion to approve payment of the bills.
So moved.
Second.
Trustee McDermott made the motion. Trustee Cannon seconded. Any discussion on payment of the bills? Any discussion? All those in favor of paying the bills, please signify by saying aye. Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
I mean, I as well. The bills will be paid. Any old business? Any new business?
Mayor, Trustee Cannon.
Go ahead.
Just in regards to old business, Mayor, I was hopeful that the city could help in facilitating item number 3A. We just need help from the Labor Director's Office to clear that up, and we can move forward with that. I believe the labor director is currently off on vacation, but with the help of the city, maybe we could push the labor director to get to the table quick on this, so we can move this off the table, so to speak, on this meeting.
Sure, I know that the item's a little bit more complicated than that, but and this item's been on the agenda for 6 months now. But I'm happy to talk to Wendell again.
Thank you.
Okay. So given no additional old business or new business, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
The motion by Mr. Cannon, A second by Trustee Ribeiro. All those in favor of adjournment? Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
I am an aye as well. Thanks, everybody. The meeting is adjourned. Have a great rest of the holiday.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Take care.